I would like to take up the tithe and offerings now, but first I want to read this set of scriptures, which hopefully is very familiar to you. But even though I've read it myself, probably no less than 10,000 times, it's honestly no less powerful to me when I read it for 10,000 and first time. It's a promise from the creator of the universe. He wants to be in cooperation with us in the area of finances. So he says to us, bring all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. All right, so there's a purpose for it. God says, I want you to bring it in so that this place has the ability to do things to spread the gospel. So this is my order. I've set it up, and I want to cooperate with you. God could do it without us, but he doesn't want to do it without us. He wants to do it with us and through us. So he says to us, will you cooperate with me? Can we have a co-op here? You bring all the tithes and the offerings into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and prove me. Test me, he says. Prove me now this. If I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That's an incredible promise, blessing from God. It's just incredible. And then he says, and I, your God, will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Already I just had like three or four miracles that came to my mind of things God has done for me to rebuke the devourer that was about to steal a lot of my money, including broken down cars and things like that. And I would speak that over it. God, you said you would rebuke the devourer, and this car is devouring my money. And God honored it. But we won't go there right now. This is not going to be a teaching on finances. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Now, you may say, that's not what that means. Well, maybe not for you it doesn't. I mean, I assure you that's not what it means for you, if that's what you think. But if you think that and you believe that, you can receive that. I will rebuke the devourer. Is that devouring your money? I will rebuke it. God says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall your vine, whatever it is you're doing that's producing fruit, nor shall your vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations, that means people, will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. He keeps saying it over and over. I'm saying this. I'm saying this. I'm saying this. Thus saith the Lord. He's serious about this. So it's really wise for us to get serious about it with him and trust God with it. Lay hands on it. I'm going to teach on the tithe sometime soon because it's way overdue. And I just want to tell you real quick right now, tithing is not just putting it in the bucket. Tithing is a prayer that you pray over it, and you ask God to bless it. You ask God to multiply it and bring it back to you. That's tithing. Then you put it into the basket at the church, and that gets planted. So, amen. Let's go ahead and take up tithes and offerings. And I'm just going to pray right now real quick over it. Father God, we lift this up to you. We thank you for your provision of blessing on us. We say yes to cooperating with you, Father God. We say yes to your blessing. We will not pull back from that in unbelief. We say yes to your wanting to bless us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I am real short on time about something I want to cover, and yet I still want to, just right then, I felt like the Holy Spirit told me, reminded me of something that I want to speak about. Last week, during the New Year's service that we had, I don't know that I was making something very clear. I think I did a very bad job of making it clear, so I want to try again to explain to you what happened, because I just think it speaks so much to the heart and the character of God. I was in my living room on my knees before God praying about the New Year's service and asking God. I just had it on my heart that I wanted us as a body to bless God. And so I wanted to just say, God, I want to encourage the body that we would come together on our faces before you and say, God, we are yours. What would you have us do for you? How can we as a body bless you? All right, you get that? That was my prayer. And when I say like I was struggling with God, I'm going to explain what I mean by struggling with God. When I told you before, like God said this, and I was like, well, God, I want to do this. And God said this. Well, it's not really like God was speaking to me and I was arguing with God. Because, you know, once I believe it's God, I'm not going to argue. You know what I mean? So I thought it'd be better I explain what was happening. I'm praying, God, how can we bless you? And I have this scripture that comes to my mind out of Ephesians. It's the prayer where God says that I want you to explode on the inside by my spirit with a knowledge of my love for you. I want to give you a revelation of how much I love you. I want to give this to you, but you have to ask me for it, right? And so I had that. It's a prayer that Paul prayed, and I had that come up in my mind. I'm like, hey, you know, get out of here. That's not what I don't want to be thinking about that right now. Lord, how can we bless you? Lord, how can we as a body bless you? And this scripture comes back in mind. You know, we should pray and ask God to give us a revelation of his love. And I pushed it out of my mind again. I'm like, I don't want to be thinking about that right now. Lord, how can we bless you? And a third time that scripture came back. And, you know, I don't know if you all are as slow as I am. Sometimes it takes me 3 or 4 times like that. But when it comes back that prominent, and I'm not trying to think about that scripture. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying not to think about that. And it came back a third time. Then I went, Lord, or more like, Lord, is that you? And then it was just like that witness in my spirit. Yes, this is me. I'm trying to tell you, I'm giving you the answer to your request. And I was like, it was confusing to me. But wait a minute, that's us asking you to give us something. I'm asking you, how can we bless you? And then it hit me. Oh man, that is so God. Do you understand? He's saying, okay, you want to bless me. Thank you. This is how I want you to bless me. I want you to ask me for something that I can bless you with. That's what blesses God. That, do you get it? That's our Father. Okay, thank you. You want to bless me? Good. Here's how I want to be blessed. Ask me for this blessing. And then when I give it to you, I'm blessed. It says in John 15 that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be given to you. And by this, my Father is glorified. That's how God receives glory. When we receive from him. He wants to put diadems on our head, on our crown. And that gives him glory when he glorifies his people. Amen. So there's that. Okay, here's what I'm going to do in the next 25 minutes. I would like to, I'm going to share with you what I believe is the reason God has called me to lead this body. No. Honestly, I cannot. However, I'm very serious about this. It has been growing in me since the day that I felt like God told me that he wanted me to lead this body. And I told you about that thing that just started growing in me and exploding. Well, it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And then as I started to settle into it, like, okay, this is it. This is God. I'm settling into the idea that I'm to do this. Then this vision started growing of where God wants me to lead this body. And it started getting exciting. I was like, because I started getting it like, oh, this is what God has developed in me in nearly 30 years of walking with him. Everything that he's put in me, he's now saying, now, son, give it to this body because this is where I want them to go. So it's everything that he's been building in me. You know, every leader has different things God's been building in them. And that's why it's important, very important, that you find out from God where you're supposed to be. Not everyone's supposed to be under my leadership. Because what I have isn't what they need. It's not the right timing for them or whatever. They already have it. Or it's just not, they're not ready for it. And so some people, this is this is what they need. Other people, they need something else. They need to go somewhere else. So it's really important that you pray, seek God's face, and find out where you're supposed to be. So this will help you once you hear where we're going to find out and decide whether or not you're supposed to be here. Now, I want to tell you right now, I already know what I'm about to tell you is going to put a lot of fear in a lot of you. But I also want to encourage you. Yes, isn't that a nice intro? I also want to encourage you to be still and know that He is God. Give me time to speak to that and show you what a thin facade that fear is. It's a lie from hell. And we're going to break through that, and you're going to experience a joy and an explosion in your faith and in your walk with God like you have never experienced before if you will go with this. Amen. It's awesome. Amen. Okay, so here it is. I have always struggled with when I hear churches talk about their mission. You know, what's your mission? What's your mission statement? And they have a mission statement. And it really, honestly, it strikes me like, I thought we already had one. Didn't the commander-in-chief already give us one? Why are we making up another one? You know what I mean? We have a boss. He's already given the commission. And so, you know, so I just want you to know that's where we're going. We are going to do what Jesus has already commissioned His body to do. So what did Jesus tell us to do? We're going to look at a couple scriptures just real quick. The first one says this. That's not what it says. Kind of does, but this is what it says. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, now this is some of the very last words out of Jesus' mouth. Do you think when He's getting ready to leave His entire earthly ministry, He's getting ready to leave. You know, when you're getting ready to leave for an extended period of time and you're going to talk to your family about the last couple things you want to say. Do you think that's going to be things like, yeah, how's the weather? No, it's going to be the most important. Yeah, it's going to be the most important things they have to say. And this is Jesus' last words to His disciples that He's been training and walking with for 3.5 years. And He said to them, all authority has been given to Me, both in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore. Go. He is commissioning His body with His authority to go and make disciples of all nations. This is the commission to the body. That hasn't changed. Do we think it's changed? Jesus cares so much about this commission that He went so far as to go to the cross for it. That's how serious He is about it. Do we think it has changed? It has not changed, and it will never change until the day that He raptures His church. It's still going. This is still the reason that He came, is to save those that are lost. Next scripture says this. And He said to them, this is in Mark, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Same commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. So this is what I believe the Lord has been making very clear to me that He wants us to do as a body and as a church. And that is this next slide, which says, this is our commission. This is the Village Vineyard Commission. Prepare the nets, then go fishing. Come on. Amen. So that's what we're going to do. We are going to prepare the nets. Because honestly, even though we are a beautiful body of people, I believe, it is my opinion anyhow, that as a whole, I don't mean completely, but as a whole, our nets are in disarray. They're off in the corner. They're muddy with a lot of holes in them. We need to, as a body, break them out, spread them out, clean them up, knit them up, Get them ready and let God send the fish to us. We are going to catch the fish. So what exactly are the nets that I'm referring to make it really specific? The nets are basically five things. The first one is a dynamic children's ministry. This is an area that's kind of got some pretty big holes in it. And so, you know, when people come here and they have little ones, the number one priority that's on their mind is, what's happening with my children when I'm in the service, right? Are they safe? Are they being loved? Are they being cared for? Are they being taught the things of God? Is it clean? Is it organized? Are they on top of their game? You know what I mean? Is it safe? And is it good? What's happening? And so we are going to prepare that net. And we're well on our way to doing it right now. So that one is primarily on me. And so I put that primarily on Kelly. No, just teasing. So Kelly and I are working together with some other people. So that's really not on you. But we've got a lot rolling all that on that. And we will continue on that. So having a dynamic children's ministry is number one, preparing the nets. Number two is uncompromised teaching. Uncompromised teaching. Not just teaching. Uncompromised teaching of the Word of God. So I'm going to talk to you about things that may doctrinally upset some of you. I'm not going to back off of the Scriptures. I never have. I'm not going to start now, but I'm just telling you, I'm just going to bring it. And so I would just say to you on this note, let me just say this. I've already received dozens of emails for the 4 years that I've been here. All right. I have a mindset of how I'm going to handle this from now on, because I know now it's only going to get probably heavier, because I'm going to be the one doing primarily all the teaching. And so you're going to hear more about where I'm coming from, which means probably more emails. Maybe. I don't know. I am seriously considering setting up an advisory board. I'm very serious about this. And I'm not going to just keep taking all the emails, because I need to protect my heart for this body. And so I keep taking these hits and these hits. And you know what? I'm going to protect myself better than I've been doing. Yes. I need to know how to duck and weave. So I thought before it was probably just good that I make myself completely available and people can just say whatever they want to say to me. I'm going to do that as long as the spirit of it is right. All right. So eventually I'm going to set up an advisory board. It will basically, this will be the policy of the church. If you have something against me, you don't like something I'm doing or saying or teaching, that is 100% fine. It really is. I'm not turning that away. I'm just going to say, you go to the board and you talk to them about it. All right. They're going to talk to you about it. They're going to consider it. And if they think that you're out to lunch, they're going to tell you that. If they think what you have to say is valid, they're going to bring it to me and I'm going to submit to that. I'm going to listen to them because I'm going to know they have my heart. You know what I mean? They have a good heart towards me. You know what I mean? They're not going to just slice and dice. So I want to hear it, but it's going to need to be filtered. I want to hear it through some good hearts. And they say, you know what, Brad, this person brought this and we think they're right. You know, you're doing this and this. And we think maybe it'd be good to have some adjustments. I'm going to absolutely listen to that. Okay. So I just want to tell you that this is also going to help me to just bring it all and just kind of protect me to make sure I don't back off at all over a period of time. I don't want to find myself backing off. I don't think I would anyhow, but this is to help ensure that. So I'm just want to kind of tell you ahead of time, this is what's going to happen eventually. The other thing I would say this, if you do end up like kind of circumventing that and coming directly to me with an email, if you want to come against, or I don't want to say it that way, if you disagree with anything that I'm teaching, I want you to know this, and I mean this with all of my heart, that is completely fine with me. I don't have a problem with that. I never have. I would just ask this. Don't just make a blanket statement that says, I believe what you're teaching is a bunch of hooey. If I just gave you, I took the time to study, and I just gave you 25 scriptures supporting what I'm saying, at least have the decency to give me some scripture that would support why you have a different opinion of it. Don't just tell me that's not of God. I think that's a bunch of hooey. Really? You have any more than that? I mean, I'm all about the word. I'm not about my opinion. I really am not about my opinion. I could give a rip about my opinion. I study the word. I believe I find what the word says on a subject. I bring that. If you don't agree with it, tell me why you don't believe that. And then we can have a really healthy, wonderful dialogue. I'm all about it. I don't have any problem with that. What I have a problem with is attacking. And just, you know, just for the sake of attacking, like, you know, whatever. So, uncompromised teaching. And then your part of how you can interact with my uncompromised teaching. Number three is Holy Spirit empowered worship. So, this is another major part of the net, right? When people come into a service, they want to enter into the presence of God through worship. So we are working. The worship team and I have been working together for months. Well, we started coming together on this idea of a philosophy of what the Bible says about worship. What's our worship philosophy as a church? To make sure that our teaching and what we're singing are saying the same message and not opposed to each other. I'm saying God says that you are holy and just and washed by the blood of the Lamb. We're not going to be singing, we're just worthless worms. Right? That's not good. So we have a worship philosophy that all of us on the worship team are 100% in agreement on. And we're also praying and believing God to continue to add gifts and talents to the team. So come on, those of you who are sitting on your blessed talents, bring them to the worship team. We want you to come into the worship team. You come to Derek and Aaron and talk to them about being on the worship team. We are going to grow. I'm anticipating at some point we are going to have this stage filled from side to side with musicians that are gifted and anointed of God to bring the most outrageous, Holy Ghost-empowered worship. We're also making some adjustments. We've already made them, really, in the music genre so that we're not just playing this one-sided, very edgy music that we've been doing for many years. We need to spread that out of respect to people who maybe aren't in their 20s and the artsy type and all that. I love them. They're awesome. But they're not the only people on the planet. There's other people that aren't really in that same place. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to bring some other music. You know, I would love to see more Greg and Lynn's and Don's and Sherry's and people who have some seasoning and depth and, you know. And when they come into this church and they, I'm losing everybody. Huh? Did I do my politically incorrect faux pas already or something? I missed it?
Seasoning, generally, you would apply that to like food, wouldn't
you? Oh, did I say seasoning, not seasoned?
Did I?
Let's back up the tape. Okay, replay that. Seasoned people of God. All right, baby, that's enough. Yes. That's beautiful, Thelma. Amen. Yes. Wait a minute. Did Jesus not call us the salt of the earth? Amen. I'm just saying. All right, so we want some seasoned people that can bring some seasoning to this body. Seriously, I really want to see people that have been walking with the Lord for 30 and 40 years coming into this church and staying because they love it. Yeah. And if we're just playing this one edgy, you know, type music, it's not respecting and honoring them. So we've already broadened our base and, you know, we're bringing some music that has got more to it than that, including some of the older hymns, you know. You know, I would love to see, I don't know if we've even talked about this, but It Is Well With My Soul. Wow. You know, have we? When back in 19, what? No.
We did it in our home.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I don't remember that here. But I mean, that's one of the most anointed songs on the planet. You know, just so anyhow, a worship that is not only dynamic, not only anointed of God, but also respects all ages. So when they come into this church, they love it. They too can enter in, you know? I mean, we can't just say, well, they just need to enter in regardless. No, that's not respectful, you know? So we're broadening the base. We've already done it. Derek and Aaron are doing an incredible job with that. Woo! Glory. The fourth thing, what's that? The fourth one is this. Heartfelt connections. This is another net where there's some big holes in our net. And what I mean by this is many people have come into this church. They come in, they sit down. No one says diddly squat to them. They turn around and they leave. We're not taking care of the fish that God is sending to us when we do that. We need to take care of the fish. We need to sew up those holes and catch the fish God brings to us and make disciples of them. Clean them up, help them, bless them. And you know what? A lot of those fish that are coming in, they're already cleaned up and blessed, and they're here to bless us. And we're missing them. They're going right through our hole. They're just right out the hole of that net. So those holes need to be patched up. Now, the dynamic children's ministry, I put that on me. I'll take the leadership and the responsibility of getting that done. Uncompromised teaching, I put that on me, and I'll take that one. The Holy Spirit-empowered worship, I put that on Derek and Aaron. No, I'll do that with them, but that's primarily on them. And, you know, each one of these I'm going to eventually be handing off. I'm not going to be constantly heading these up. I'm just getting them rolling. I'm just saying I take the lead of that and responsibility to get that rolling. This one, the heartfelt connections, is squarely on your shoulders. Leaders, I'm calling you to lead. Be leaders in this area. Get proactive. Finding those people that are new that are coming in and go and spend time with them. Make a heartfelt connection to them. Introduce yourself. Talk to them. And then I would really suggest you take it to the next level and invite them to your home for dinner. Get to know them. I was talking to our leaders at one point about this. In fact, would you mind coming up here, Kelly? I was just saying this, and I was saying this is what people are looking for. There are surveys that have been out talking about why, yeah, maybe we can get her a microphone, about why people are in the churches that they're in. Why do they go? Why do they choose the church that they choose? You know, the number one reason people say that they chose the church they chose? What's that? Yes, they felt they could be connected. So I was just talking to our senior leadership team about this and saying this is what I'm going to be bringing. And I said, and so just like, invite him over to your house. I said, when you do that, they will understand that we really do care. I know we really care. I know we're good people here. But if we don't show that, they don't know that. We need to do that. And when I said that, Kelly raised her hand and said this.
The first week I was here, Megan and Peter just kind of came on over. Hey, how are you? And before you know it, I was going to their house regularly. And they're probably one of the main reasons I'm here, because I got connected right away, because they just did it out of love and just heartfelt, you know, warmth for me. So thank you.
And I said that in that meeting right then. She raised her hand. She goes, that's why I'm here. I mean, she just said it up bluntly right then. I said, talk to me. And so she told me that story. I mean, that was it. That's exactly it. So that's why I started this whole thing about taking 5 minutes and get to know somebody. I know I see a lot of you in complete disobedience as you go and talk to your best friend during that 5 minutes. But So I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? I said there were five. What was I didn't put it on this list. What's the fifth one? Yes, thank you very much. Who said that? Woo! Go Joe. So that's it. Home groups, small groups. They need, once they get the initial connection, they can see this as a place. You know, when you go into a church, when you go into a brand new church, think about it. You're walking into a brand new place and you're there. You're kind of wondering, like, you know, one of the biggest questions on your mind is, can I get connected here? That's really what you're thinking. And what I'm thinking is, there going to be, can I get connected here? If you walk in and you're there for 2 hours and you leave and no one says anything to you, You're done. You go somewhere else. But then once you do get, if you do go to that church and one of the leaders of the church comes over to you and starts talking to you and really engages with you, and then maybe another set and some other folks came over and, you know, three and four different people, I'm talking about the real stuff. I'm not talking about, hey, you know, what's your day, you know. I'm not talking about Ginsu knife salesmen. I'm talking about truly loving people. That's all. Just being who you are, already are, and share it with them. Love them, you know. Once they do that, once we get connected, then what you as leaders need to do is encourage them to get involved in small groups. Because there, in that setting, is where people really get connected. The real connection to the body takes place in the small group. So we've got to encourage everyone to start getting into small groups. So that is something that Peter and Megan are heading up and doing an awesome job with. Now, we need more small group leaders. Right now, we're already way too large in every one of our groups because we don't have enough small group leaders. We need some small group leaders. So if you feel like you've got what it takes to be a small group leader, if you feel like God is speaking to you about that, please come and talk to Peter and Megan about it, okay? We want that. We're looking for that. So that's that one. Now, that's the preparing the nets. Once our nets are prepared, we have a dynamic children's ministry that is ready to receive the kids, and it's well. It's done well. It's done with excellence, right? Parents come in, they love what's happening with their children in that place. They come into here, and there is this incredible worship where we are truly entering in to the presence of God. They're hearing the uncompromised preaching of the word. They're having two and three and five people coming over to them and genuinely loving on them when they enter this body. And they're being encouraged to get into small groups that when we're hitting on all pistons, our nets are prepared. Then what we are going to do as a body is that means every single one of you and me, are going to start going out into the community and sharing Jesus with people. We are going to preach the gospel. Now, that's the part where I said fear might come on you in this part. So what is the go fishing part? Here's the go fishing. It's mainly two things that I have right now. It may very well grow into other things. These are the two things. Number one, sharing our faith with strangers. Now, here's where this is what I'm going to do for you in this area. I'm going to bring a comprehensive instruction to every single person in this body on how to witness to people, how to share your faith. Now, I didn't actually do the research on this, so I just want to say that up front when I say the statistic. I'm going to give you a stat. I did not do the research. I've heard it, so I know it's close because, I mean, I've been walking the Lord nearly 30 years, and I've spoken to enough people, and I know it's something in this ballpark if it's not exactly this number. Less than 2% of all children of God ever lead anybody to the Lord. That should not be. Now I want you to listen to me carefully. There is no condemnation in this message. Zero. All right? I'm not bringing any. God's not bringing any. So if you're hearing it, just say, devil, shut up. Kick it off you. Because that's not what I'm doing. I'm just talking some facts, and then I'm gonna tell you how we're going to change that. All right? The number one reason people don't do it is what?
Fear.
Fear. Right? Well, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that next week. Wow, what a bummer. Let me just tell you this. I am going to bring some stuff that will kick that fear right in its teeth. It is my intention to equip everyone. Now, I want to say it this way. I'm expecting every single person in this body to go through a comprehensive teaching on how to witness that I'm going to give. I'm going to do it either somewhere in the neighborhood of probably a 6 to 10 week. I'm just giving you the rough draft that's in my head, all right? I haven't really mapped all this out exactly how I'm going to do it. But I'm going to do probably something like a 6 to 10 week teaching on how to street witness. When I say street witness, I don't mean necessarily going to the streets. I just mean that person next to you at work, that person in the grocery store. Or you may actually go in the streets, whatever. I'm going to show you how to do it. Now, just to give you some understanding that I understand how to do this, I have personally led, I don't know how many people, I just know comfortably it's well over 1,000 people that I've led to the Lord. I know how to lead people to the Lord. And I'm going to share with you what God has taught me over the years, how to do it. In fact, just a couple days ago, in fact, Peter was in the room. My friend Pete was in the room, and I just led a girl to the Lord just a few days ago, right? Well, yesterday, she went on to be with the Lord. And I just led her to the Lord when? When was that, Pete? A week ago.
Amen.
Awesome. Now think about that. If I had not done that, I mean, any one of you could have done it. I'm saying, and this isn't about me. I hope you understand. I'm just saying us, the body of Christ. If someone from the body of Christ had not gone and spoken to her, do you know where she would be right now? But instead, I have such peace and joy in my heart because I know where she is. And how long would you say it took me to do that, Pete? 5-10 minutes. Thank you. I just, you know, she was in the hospital and I just walked up to her and I said, Jamie, do you know why I'm here? I think so. I said, I'm here to talk to you about the Lord. Okay. And I just began to share with her. I said, you know, a priest had just come in ahead of me. I didn't know that, but the husband shared it with me. He said, hey, we just had a priest come in here, and man, it really helped because he was just saying, you know what? Heaven's not a bad thing, you know? Heaven's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's a good place, you know, you're going. And he said, it just really helped us. Really, you know, just gave us a lot of peace and all that. I said, that's wonderful, man. That's wonderful. But when I went to her and I talked to her, I said, Jamie, it is true. Heaven's a beautiful place. It's a great place and nothing to be afraid of. But do you know it's not automatic that you're going there? And she just looked at me very seriously and I said, I want to tell you what the Bible says, what Jesus says about what it takes to go to heaven. And I shared with her, I said, explain a few things. I said, are you familiar with this? Do you understand what I'm talking about? She said, no, not really. She said, I've been a good mom. I've done the best I could. I've tried to take care of my husband. And I said, Jamie, everyone in this room would say you have done that with excellence. Be at peace about that. But that won't get you into heaven. Because it doesn't wash away your sins. Sin is the issue that separates us from God. I said, so let me talk to you about what deals with the sin issue. And I shared that. And I shared the whole thing about being born again. And at the end I said, do you want to do that? Do you want to ask Jesus to come into your life right now so he would wash away your sin and God will breathe his spirit into you and you will be born again? Do you want to do that? And she looked at me and she said, I think so. No, I know so. And I said, okay, let's do that. I'll pray with you right now. I'll take you to the throne right now. And she said, all right. She gave me her hand and we just prayed together and she received Jesus into her heart right there. Amen. This is the heart of God. That his people would be sharing his son Jesus with the lost. Do you know they just don't know? They don't know. If you walked into any room where there's 100 people in there and you were to go to every single one of them and say, do you know how you can be assured that you're going to heaven? Do you know for sure? Do you know how to get to heaven? Do you know out of that 100 people, maybe 3, 4, 5 people would know the answer to that? You know what the rest of them will say? Do good. Go to church. Yeah. Do the best you can. Try not to hurt other people. You know, that's where they go. That's where they all go with it. Because I've asked this question 1,000 times, 2,000, 5,000 times. This is what they all say. Yeah, I just believe that, you know, I mean, I know I need to straighten up and I need to probably just like start going to church. That's where they go. They don't know. They don't know. That's all. They just don't know how to go to heaven. They don't know that Jesus, they may know Jesus died for them, but they don't really know what do you do with that. Does that mean, okay, so you honor him by going to church and reading the Bible? They don't know how to get born again. And that's all we do. We just share that message. How to receive Christ. And I'll tell you, probably from all the times that I've shared it, let me just tell you my rough percentage, what I would say is going to happen. Probably about 70, 75% of the time when you say, so would you like to do that? They're going to say, yeah, yeah, I want to do that. They just didn't know that that's all they had to do. And they're going to pray with you. The other 20, 25% are going to think about it. They're going to assess their life. And they're going to say, nah, not right now. Not really. Or I'm good. Or whatever. Because they think about the party and lifestyle and all that. And they don't really want to give that up. And so they let it go. And they say, no, that's fine. You move on and you talk to someone else. And you talk to someone else. Because you know what? It's that 75% that we're reaching to. Jesus said, not everyone is ready. Only those whose God has drawn are ready. And so we're seeking those people out whose hearts are ready. And we lead them to Christ. So I am going to bring a course of 6 to 8 weeks of teaching exactly how to do it. And then I'm going to start it over again. And then I'm going to start it over again. I'm going to start it over again. And I'm expecting, I'm expecting every single person in this body to get into one of those courses that you start in on that first week. And you go through that, whatever it is, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 weeks that I'll do to learn how to witness. And I promise you by the end, you'll say, I can do that. Because it really is easy. It is not difficult. The other thing I would like to do to kind of add to this is a couple things. This is kind of a twofold thing. I want to start doing video messages instead of just audio for the preaching up here. And I've already pitched this to the board once and they turned it down because of the cost, right? So what are they doing in politics? Yeah, I'm campaigning. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Right now, I think the whole board might be present in the room. So anyhow, I want to get a camera where we start videoing the messages so people can see it online. But the other thing I want to do is be able to take that camera and go out into the streets and have people film me witnessing to people. And I'm going to lead people to the Lord several times on camera and then bring that into the classroom. And you guys are going to watch me lead one after another to the Lord because I know what will happen. At the end, you're going to go, I can do that. You'll realize it's not eloquence. It's not because I know the Bible. Because you know what you don't do? You don't start chasing all the rabbit trails they want to take you on. You don't go there. You bring them right back to the cross. Yeah, but what about? You just bring them right back to the cross. Yeah, but how about the people in Africa? You just bring them right back to the cross. And you'll realize, wow, I can do that. You don't need to know the whole Bible. You just need to know how to get born again. So with that film, I can do that, but I need to now, I'm going to try and resell the board on it. So I just want you guys, if you're in agreement on this, then maybe in unison, you could all say, approve the video program. On a count of three, who's in favor? Say it, because the board is listening to you right now. On the count of three, 1, 2, 3, approve the video program. No pressure, board. It's all good. No. I know. I've thought about that. But the iPhone's not going to do a good job at all for video and the teachings here. And the other thing is the real bouncy I want it. And the other thing is the sound. Because I'm kind of picturing the cameraman's going to be kind of far off so it's not in their face. Right? I want it far off. So, and I was talking to someone who knows a lot about this stuff. And they were telling me the kind of camera we need to get. And it's going to be a little more expensive than an iPhone. So So one way we're going to go fishing is sharing our faith. And number two, the way we're going to go fishing is this. It's just one of the ideas that I've had for about 25 years, and I'm really fired up about it. And that is outreaches that attract crowds. And one of the ways I want to do that are skits, plays that we're going to do in parks. I'm going to put together a drama team. I'm already working with someone who is a professional actor, and we're talking about putting this thing together. And we're going to put together a drama team from this church. And we're going to have an awesome dynamic play that really grips the hearts of people. And we're going to go do it live in parks all over the city. So we're going to wait for the springtime. Worry not. And then when it's all done and we've got a crowd there, then I'm going to step up to the microphone and I'm going to preach the gospel. And we're going to start leading people in crowds to the Lord. And then once the drama team starts feeling encouraged by when they see me doing that and they want to take the microphone from me, I'm going to be a very happy camper at that day. So I'm just telling the drama team they don't need to worry about preaching the gospel, I'll do that. Until you're ready, then take the mic out of my hand and go for it. You know what I mean? And we'll just keep growing it. So that's just two of the ways. One, us individually going out and sharing our faith, and then also doing things that can draw crowds, and we'll share it that way. And we are going to start doing the work that God's called us to do. Let me tell you this in closing. What this will do for your joy and your faith is off the charts. When you start leading people to Christ, your joy will go through the roof and your faith will explode. We will become spiritually employed. So much of the problem that the body of Christ as a whole all over the globe, the reason there's a lot of problems, the reason there's a lot of gossip and backbiting, people not seeing the hands of God and, you know, the miracles in their life and all that kind of stuff, is because we are spiritually unemployed. And that causes all that blah, 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 blah. When we start doing what God's called us to do, and we're out there and we're sharing our faith and we're leading people to Christ, all of that stuff just falls off and we get on fire for God. And it becomes a dynamic body of Christ instead of a griping one. And that's where we're going. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. All right, so there's the vision for the church. And there's so much more I want to share right now that's really awesome, but I'm completely out of time. I ran out of time 10 minutes ago. So I have a video I wanted to show you that's really dynamic. It's awesome. So in closing, let's just, if you guys will, let's just sing a song and worship God. But I feel like there's something else I need to say. And well, let me say this. Also, we're not alone when we go out there to preach. Don't feel like this is on you and you got to muster it all. God didn't leave us alone to preach the gospel. He sent his Spirit. The Spirit of God is going to be there and show up. There's so much I want to say to that. I'm going to share some things about what happens when you're out there witnessing and lead people to the Lord. It is incredible. All right? Praise God. Let's worship the King.